This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the October 19th edition of Invest Talk. October 19th, 1987. Do you know what that day was? That's the day the market fell 20%. So what is it, a 30-year anniversary? I'm all about above average investing for the average investor. That's what I want to teach everybody, to be better than what they're doing. Better. We're here to help, providing information, opinions, answer to some questions, but maybe most important, to give you a perspective to help you feel more confident about your decisions regarding your money. Now, we can talk live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, but let's start off by answering a question from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve, Justin. For an income and growth investor, what allocation do you think one should give to real estate investment trusts as a portion of one's portfolio that would not be allocated to immediate liabilities such as emergency fund and expenses over the next 1 to 2 years? Thank you very much.
I would say 10 to 15% of a portfolio. I never put more than 15% or so. Sometimes I'll go to 18 to 20%, but that's rare. In any one sector, if you're buying individual stocks, if you're buying mutual funds, that's a little bit different, but because they're already diversified. And I like to, if I'm buying individual stocks, I buy a 3% allocation. So that means, what, 5 stocks in REITs? And I know the temptation is to buy more because they have really good yields, dividend yields, but you don't want to concentrate your risk. You want to spread that risk around. REITs, real estate investment trust, everybody, those are stocks in relationship, have some kind of relationship in the real estate market. They buy properties or mortgages or something to do with real estate, and they're required to pay 90% of their earnings out in the form of dividends to you, the shareholder, every year. And if they do that, they qualify as a REIT, and they don't have to pay income tax at the corporate level. That's what that's all about. So what's on our news carousel today for InvestTalk Insiders on InvestTalk.com? These are the financial stories and resources, articles from name brand sources. That's what's there. One of them is How to Build Your Financial Foundation from Investopedia.com. Also, 6 tips for managing your personal finances and how to communicate with a partner about retirement. From Bloomberg, all oil rises on demand, signs after Goldman flags geopolitical risk. Investors are still watching the tensions between Iraq forces and Kurdish fighters. And according to a senior market strategist, in Chicago, political risks that are out there are definitely supporting prices for crude oil. Remember that part of the world, Iraq and that part of the world, they produce a lot of oil. And therefore, you know, that's why that would be supportive when there's turmoil in that part of the world. They're supportive of oil prices being higher. So, and OPEC is leaning toward extending the deal with Russia and other non-members to cut oil supply for another 9 months. Another reason the oil will probably hold up. You can read more on more and more detail. You see more on the articles and everything else when you are an InvestTalk Insider. Join up for free on InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab. So what's on the list of topics today? For goals that are close at hand, how do you balance your loss aversion with return potential? How do you balance that? How to invest for the short term? And that's going to be one of our main, that is our main talking point today. Of course, I want to talk about other things. This is the anniversary of the biggest one-day fall in the market of history, 30 years ago. I wanted to talk about that a little bit, and we've been talking about it. I've been talking about it the last couple of days. I still want to talk about something else along those lines, and that is the EAFE index. Do you know what that is? EAFE. If you don't, well, you're going to have to end the show today. And then 3 very hard decisions you need to make before someone else makes them for you as you age. And I know I have personal experience with these three hard decisions. I got a father-in-law who is not making them, not making these decisions. We're going to have to make them for him. And finally, Black Monday anniversary, as I talked about before, how the 2017 stock market compares with the 1987 stock market. I touched on this yesterday. I want to just explore it a little bit more in a different light. And the reason why I'm doing this is because there's some similarities, but there's also some large dissimilarities with 1987. I don't want people to think, because of the similarities that people are writing about and talking about, they're fear mongers. They're trying to push you into fear. The similarities are just that, similarities. But there's just as many different things going on than 1987 also. And I'm going to bring up some of those. So just don't want anybody to, you know, say, oh my God, we're in the same position. It's going to crash 20% a day. It's not going to happen, most likely. 99 9/10 chance that it will not happen. Okay? So we're going to talk about those things. But of course, you're always first. What's on your mind? The market was down pretty heavily during the day, but by the end of the day, the Dow ended up 5 points. The Nasdaq was down 19 points, and the S&P up one. The one you can only rely on here that gives you any kind of broad market indication is the S&P, which is up one, meaning it was kind of a flat day. Apple took it on a chin today, and that represents a lot of that Nasdaq fall. But again, I'm going to quote what I have been quoting recently on increased volume. There are 42 stocks went up on significant increased volume, and 191 stocks went down on significant increased volume. And I'm getting this from, by the way, from MarketWatch.com. That's where that's coming from. MarketSmith.com. And that's part of, the newspaper people. So it's just kind of an interesting number to watch. Let's get back to the 24-hour listen line, pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Rob. I'm from Boston, and I had a question. I have a Scottrade account where I own some shares of Santander Bank, which I got a message that they're doing a special one-time dividend that I guess I have to register for, and I just really wasn't sure. I'd never seen anything like this before, so I was wondering if you could just kind of give me some information on that. I'm not sure if that's in addition to their regular dividend, which I think is about 3-4%, and I just kind of was curious to see what the implications of signing for this would be. So just let me know. Thanks. I love the show. Look forward to hearing it on the podcast.
Okay, this is Banco Santander out of Spain. It's a global holding company for the bank, Banco Santander, operating 12,235 branches. A pretty big bank, $94 billion company, big, big, big company. They pay a 2.8% dividend yield, and filling out paperwork, probably because it's an ADR, American Depository Receipt, it's not, you know, a normal stock traded in our exchanges. They went ex-dividend on the 16th, 2 or 3 days ago. And I'm assuming that the paper, it's unusual to get paperwork about the dividend. Usually it's just paid, however they pay it. But they're probably asking you how you want to pay. That would be my guess. Do you want it in shares? Do you want it in cash? Do you want them to put it in deposit in the account? Whatever. So I'm not sure what that is because that's not common. I'd have to see it. The symbol for Banco Santander is S-A-N, S-A-N, S-A-N is a Nancy. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Do you have questions about a particular company that looks promising? Or maybe more important, how to find balance in your portfolio that you know, is compatible with your appetite for risk? Let's talk about it. You're listening to Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART for your questions.
Good afternoon, Steve. Justin, thank you for the show. I think it's awesome. One quick question. I read somewhere that to achieve an ideal mutual fund portfolio, you should have between 12 and 15 mutual funds, and then you buy your stocks on top of that. And this way you have diversification, and it's balanced and managed. Here's my question. If you have all those mutual funds 12 to 15 in your portfolio, isn't that going to be a drag in terms of fees for your returns? Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Yes. I wouldn't have 12 or 15 mutual funds to achieve, and then stocks on top of that to achieve proper diversification. You don't need to do that. I don't know where you read that. I have never read that kind of thing. Someone's just trying to sell a bunch of mutual funds to me. You can get great diversification in one mutual fund by buying an index fund if you want. So it depends on what kind of investor you want to be. I don't tend to buy mutual funds if I'm going to buy stocks. If I have 20, 30 different stocks, that's good enough diversification. As long as you buy the right kind of stocks, or you don't concentrate, as we said at the beginning of the show, no more than 15% or so, maybe 17, 18% in any one sector. Spread it around if you're going to be a stock investor. You don't need that many mutual funds. That seems excessive. It just doesn't seem right. I wouldn't do it. I've never done that. Now, if you have a mutual fund portfolio, you can have 10 or 15 mutual funds if you're using sector mutual funds. Then okay. But just to get a broad diversification, you can do it with just one or two or three mutual funds. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay. What are short-term investment options that you may have? You don't have a lot of them in this world, in this current financial environment we're in. You just don't. To be safe, you could buy CDs, okay? Certificates of deposit at the bank. You could do that. You can buy short-term treasury bill. They have 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 1 year, 2 year. Treasury bill. You can buy them direct from Treasury Direct, matter of fact. There's other things you can do, but after that, it gets a little bit more complex, okay? And for instance, you could buy short-term commercial paper, unsecured commercial paper. You ever heard of that? Okay, well, these are short-term loans issued by a corporation. Typical for financing account receivables and inventory. So a corporation says, hey, I got money come in. I'm waiting for it to come in. It's not here, but I need cash flow. So I will sell a short-term bond, let's say. It's not really, it's just a loan is what it really is. A short-term loan called, sometimes they call them repo loans. Have you ever heard of that term? But how do you get into that? See, it's more difficult for individual people. We're talking short term. It could be 2 days, 5 days, 2 weeks. I mean, short term. Okay? And the rate of return is usually low, but it's a lot higher than money market and CDs. It's higher. So there's things, there's banker's acceptance. Have you ever heard of a banker's acceptance, a short-term credit investment created by non-financial companies and guaranteed by the bank? See, there's things that are out there, but they're not really for you. It's going to be very difficult for you to buy them. You're stuck with CDs or treasury short-term numbers, savings account. You're stuck there, and the rates are not very good. Simple as that. That's what you're going to do if you want to do short-term. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. What many questions is on your mind? You reach me now on InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Trevor. Just wondering about stock ticker number SSKN. I've held this stock since the 150s area, and it shot up today or in pre-market and seems to have fallen back down to its original level. Just wondering if there's some sort of dilution going on with this company that had some press that seemed good. Just wondering what your thoughts are on SSKN. Thanks.
Okay, this is a micro cap stock. I mean, it's $1.53 stock. It's a 3.8 million market cap stock. I mean, this is gambling. They don't make any money. They've never made any money year after year after year. I will say that they are losing less money next year than they are this year, but I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't own it. Now, why it spiked from where it was to $2.75 back down to $1.53 in the last 2 days is because there was news out on it. Okay, the news was they had come to an agreement with some other company. But I don't care about any of that news. All I care about is earnings, and I don't see any. They're only half sales of $8 million. I don't know what a quarter. I don't know what they're selling. You know, this is a developer of non-invasive point-to-care system to assist in the detection of early melanoma. So to detect cancer, skin cancer, it looks like. So maybe it's testing equipment. I don't know. I don't really care. They're not making any money, have never made any money, and it's very speculative. This is a stock that if you have faith in it, it's like long as you know that your chances of losing every dime are extremely high. You can take a chance with a little bit of your money, but if bear in mind that money is gone. And if it doesn't bother you that way, that if you lose all of it, then it's okay to do it. But it's extremely high volatility and extremely high risk on this kind of stock. And most of them go out of business. Now, there's those that go up thousands of percent, too, but that's rare, not common. SSKN is the symbol, everybody. It's not something for me. It's a speculative stock. It's not an investment. Okay? Just let you know. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You know, it's Black Monday today, the anniversary of 30 years ago. And so how's the market the same or different? Let me rephrase that. How's the market and the economy the same and different as it was then as it is now? Experts are showing charts, so showing the movement of the stocks, movement of the index, in particular the S&P 500, going back then and comparing it with today's movement. And if you take a look at that chart, this is why statistics can lie. You can make statistics say anything you want if you know how to manipulate them, and that's what they've done. Now, what they did is on the right side and the left side of the chart, one side is for current and left side is for what was back then, and go back a certain period of time and say, see, it's the same movement. But if you do that using percentages, two different things. The market back then shot up from 1985 to 1987, 100%. Well, you go compare the same movement in the same period of time going back, the current market's up only 24%. So it's not the same. Now, there are some similarities. For instance, right now, this you're looking at a very long duration bull phase. Well, there was a long duration bull phase back then, too. The 1987 crash preceded by a pretty much frothy performance. Okay, that's what happened. And we're seeing a lot of frothy performance now. But the similarity is not in the statistics of fundamental numbers and things. That's not necessarily the similarity. The similarity that I am more concerned with is the structure of the market. How it was structured back then versus the structure today. Back then they had portfolio insurance. And they had arbitrage going on, and this was new instruments, and no one knew exactly how liquid they were in a down market, and they weren't liquid, and that accelerated the crash. Today we have ETFs, massive amounts of ETFs. Matter of fact, we have much more volume in ETFs, like huge, much more volume ETFs than the actual underlying index they track. So we have computer-driven trading by computers. How's that going to affect markets? See, so the structure is the same. There was risk in how back then in 1987 from these new kinds of investment strategies and instruments, and today we have different kinds of investment strategies and instruments, but at the same increase in the risk factor. And the unknown factor of how it's actually going to impact the market in a market that falls sharply. Will it feed on itself like it did in 1987 because of it? If that happens. Don't know. But it is similar that way. And that's what you really should look at, you know, how things happen. Every financial crash, every economic, is different. It's different. Same but different. Tall tales about the lucky investors who hit it big with stock idea may be entertaining, but for most people, investing isn't about getting rich quick. So let's talk about slow and steady approach. My direct line, 888-99-CHART.
We continue now with Invest Talk and a word for KPP Financial. When you make money choices, you try to be objective, of course. Look at the facts. Look at your life situation. Some people choose to work with a registered investment advisor to help in the process. And one of the most important reasons is to be defensive, keeping risk at a minimum. It's the only way to share the worry. It becomes a practical matter. A professional advisor has the resources and experience. For more than 20 years, KPP Financial has been serving clients all across America. They're accessible, responsive, and maybe most important, the KPP principals invest right along with their clients. Parallel investing. It's your assurance of added care. And to find out more about their investment programs, when you're ready, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investing tab. We continue with Invest Talk, answers to life's important money questions. And our direct line for you is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. Henning from Kiev, Ukraine here, listening to you on the podcast. Thank you for a great show. My question is about FLIR System, ticker symbol FLIR. I'm thinking of taking a small position, and I would like to know from you what a good entry point might be and how you see the sustainability of the earnings going forward. Thank you again, and I'll be listening to you on the podcast. All the best. Bye-bye.
Okay, FLIR, FLIR Systems, Inc. It's out of Oregon. What it does, it manufactures thermal imaging and infrared camera systems for commercial, industrial, and government markets. It's a $6 billion company, so it's a mid-cap bordering on large cap. I'm a little worried because it only does $434 million a quarter. So that's only 1.2. So that means it's about a 5 price to sell. I don't like the price to sales relationship there and the price to market cap. It seems a little expensive, that's all. It's a good, solid company. It's earned money every year and grow its money every year since 2010. It's going to make $1.85 this year, then $2.02 next year. Sales are growing 7 to 10% a quarter, extremely consistent. And because of that, it's been moving up strong, and the PE, current PE, is 25. Going forward, the current PE will be about 21, 22. The five-year range is 14 to 30. So you need to buy it when it pulls back maybe to the $37 area, which is the 200-day moving average. It was there. It was there in July, and now it's a bit extended above it, so I would wait for a pullback. That's what I would do. FLIR, F-L-I-R is the symbol. Okay, do you know the course that I mentioned earlier, it's the anniversary date of the crash, 1987. The Dow has made new highs, we all know that. But do you know what the EAFE is? Do you know what that index is? EAFE. It stands for Europe, Australia, and Far East. EAFA. And the index is really close to 2000 right now, which was the same as it was at the peak at 2000 in the year 2014. It was at 2000. And it has really shot up to that in a very short period of time, meaning it's going to have to consolidate. Why am I even talking about this index? Because if it consolidates, so will our own market consolidate. If, you know, we are not immune to other markets around the world. So I'm thinking if that the Dow and the S&P have moved up very sharply too. They too need to consolidate. It's more obvious in the EAFE index, the way it's moved. So I think we could keep an eye on that index to help us with what's going to happen in our own market. See, I keep an eye on all these things, and so should you. And only, it doesn't take that long every day or once a week even. You don't have to watch it daily like I do. To just take a look at all the indexes around the world, all the major indexes. It'll take you 10 minutes. Look at a chart of all those indexes. You just got to know what the symbols are for them and take a look. And there's so many ETFs that track every one of these. All you have to do is learn the ETF that tracks them and take a look at those. And you can take a look for free at stockcharts.com. Set up a one-year daily chart on that free chart system and just scan through all the charts. What do you think I do? That's what I do. I do overlap a few on top of each other just to make it even faster, but that's me. So this is something to keep your eye on, everybody. Our free risk analysis tool not only evaluates and quantifies your risk tolerance, it's also the first step in determining if your current retirement portfolio, with its mix of stocks, bonds, and funds, and all that stuff, and cash, is exposing you to too much or even too little risk. It's easy to use. The tool is free. It's on our website. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then look for the free risk analysis.
How would you like to invest in the same program as your financial advisor? Well, you can when you choose any one of the investment programs at KPP Financial. The principals at KPP invest their own money right along with their clients. It's called parallel investing. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success.
Hi, Steve and Justin. My name's Gary. I listen to your podcast almost every day. I'm calling from Massachusetts. And I have a question about a stock, Express Scripts. The symbol is ESRX. And I also would like to know, what is a good ROE, return on equity? What should that be if you're interested in buying a stock? Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye.
I like ROEs to be in the mid to high teens. I would say the high teens at this stage or higher. Return on equity. High teens, like maybe 16-17% or higher. Not lower, higher. Okay. Now, for Express Scripts, ESRX provides pharmaceutical management benefit services to managed care organizations and employers and insurance administrators. Take a look at the news out on this company. There were some articles out today or recently. And this stock has been falling pretty hard for a while, from mid-70s down to the mid-50s. And today it closed at 58.75. Up 2 or 3% today. They're going to make $6.99 per share next year, and then $7.67 a year after. So it's a fairly reasonably priced stock. The problem it has is sales are flat to shrinking slightly, and no investor likes to see that. And they don't play a dividend, so you can't like say, well, I'll just hold on to it. It's a big company, $34 billion company. It should be paying a dividend, but it's not. So the only reason you would buy it is they're increasing their earnings and sales. Well, earnings are going up, but sales aren't. That can't last for very long. And the other reason to hold something, a big stock like this, is the dividend. They don't pay it. So it's a hard decision for me to want to own this stock. I would not want to own it because of that. Because of that. I'd wait till it breaks above one of the moving averages, maybe the 20-day moving average. It's got to get up above that before you consider buying. And that's like at $61. Remember, it's $58.75 now. But it would not be something I would buy. I would not buy it. ESRX. A lot of competition in that area. What if Amazon decides to deliver drugs, which I think they're going to? How's that impact a company like Express Scripts? Well, they have now a big competitor. Amazon gets into businesses, everybody freaks out about it. Right? So, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? How about three very hard decisions you need to make before someone else makes them for you as you get older? I have a father-in-law who's 91 years old. And one of the decisions is when to stop driving. He's still driving. That is something you need to decide before you get to the point. When you're in your 50s and 60s, that is the lowest, that group of people in their 50s and 60s is the lowest crash rates in their cars. But in 60s and 70s, crash rates go up, and they go up very rapidly at over 75 years old. Crash rates. You need to decide when to stop driving. It's hard, very difficult, because you're losing freedom. But maybe you can use Uber. Maybe you don't have to rely on family or friends to get you around. You can do something else. Second decision, where you're going to live until you die. Are you going to live in a home? Are you going to live in a retirement community? What kind of retirement? Are you going to stay in the house that you own right now? Now, everybody wants to stay in the house they bought and own. Everybody wants to say that, but you need to think about that carefully. Is that doable as you get old? Third question, when to stop taking care of yourself? In other words, how to make these decisions tough? How do you realize that you can't? For instance, my father-in-law says, you'll know his time, because he still lives by himself, when he leaves things on the stove and forgot that he had it there and starts to burn down the place. And we informed him that he's already done that. He just doesn't remember. He did it once. See? But I understand how difficult this is. I really do, that I'm dealing with it. I'm dealing with it myself. Me and my wife are dealing with it. So, yeah, these are decisions very tough as you get old. But you got to make them for yourself before that decision is taken out of your hand and someone makes a decision for you. You plan your own path while you can. Our first priority is answering your questions no matter how or when they come in. So let's pick up a call that came in before the program today on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Nick from Colorado. Love the show. Thank you for all that you guys do. I have a question about a merger. I had a position in Terraform Power, TERP, and they recently, it looks like, closed a merger with Brookfield, and I'm wondering what the stock implications of that are. There was a stock option and a cash option. I didn't elect either of those, so it says by default I would take the cash option, I guess. But in my TD Ameritrade count, I see where the stock TERP used to be. It now is the SEC filing number with a market value of zero. However, it doesn't look like those shares were bought back or anything. So I'm just confused about, what happens to stocks with the merger usually. Thank you for your time, and I'll listen on the podcast. Have a good day.
Okay, there's no one answer for that. Mergers take different forms. If Terraform or Power Company acquires and develops solar wind generation projects in U.S. and Canada, and the stock shot up from $9.50 4 days ago to $13.68 today. So that tells you what it's probably worth and what the merger is worth. And if the merger is one company buying another company, okay, that's a takeover. If the merger is two equal companies coming together, then they have to inform you, well, what symbol they're going to trade under. The merger, it doesn't look like it's happened yet, because Terraform Power Inc. is still trading. And it will stop trading with a new symbol as a merged company, if it's a merger of equals and they come up with a new company Okay, so it depends on the shape, and I, of course, can't read it fast enough or look it up fast enough to find out what the story is. If it was me and I had that kind of movement and it was a merger, I'd probably take my money and run because it's a different company now than what I bought. So whatever reasons you bought the company have now changed. Okay, unless the reasons you bought it, you anticipated a merger down the road, which that's just a guess, and I doubt that that was the reason you bought it. But now that that's happened, it's a different company, and now you need to understand what that different company is. Is it good, bad, different going forward? You know what Terraforma part is, but not the other company. So I would sell it simply because of that unknown, TERP. So for everybody else, you don't buy this stock, not now. Too late. Time for Invest Talk Personal, everybody, about the day-to-day money decisions with lasting impact. When 0% interest isn't 0%, how can you pass that up? You're given an amazing offer. Why pay the full amount now on a purchase when you can finance it at 0% for 12 months? You'd be dumb not to, right? Why wouldn't you do that? We're really talking about deferred interest, everybody. Forget the zeros. We're talking about deferred interest. When you take out the deferred interest financing, you're actually opening a credit card. And the interest rate on that credit card could knock your socks off. How about 22%? Even 26%? Even if you have the best credit, you still could be paying that 22% interest rate. Now, if you made a $1,000 purchase, and the balance would have occurred at about $19 worth of interest. That interest is deferred. By month 12, you didn't have to make any payments. Zero, free. You can have as much as deferred interest of $205. Okay? Much more than you think. The only way to avoid interest charges is to completely pay off the balance during the 12-month period. Okay? So you got to pay off the balance, the whole thing. That's what you have to do on almost all. Of course, every one of these is a little bit different, but that's generally how it works. It's not zero interest. It's deferred. It's zero interest for a year. After a year, that whole interest that was for the whole year will be added onto it unless you pay it all off. Okay? You're listening to Invest Talk. We have just a few moments remaining of the hour, but I'll be glad to make room for you. Reach me now at 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, my name is Daniel. Been a long time listener here. Just have a quick question on a stock, Hawaiian Holdings. They do have earnings this Thursday, I believe. It's a pretty strong core holding in my portfolio. My average is about 43. It's trading around 38 right now. Love the valuation, especially on forward earnings, which I believe is about 7x earnings. Extremely cheap in my opinion, but just curious to hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Hawaiian Holdings, Inc., symbols HA. It's out of Honolulu, Hawaii. It provides passenger cargo service between 11 U.S. cities, major islands in the state of Hawaii. And I'm not a big airline person, but we do own this stock in some of our managed accounts. So that tells you what I think about it. We also think it's a pretty deep value stock. Sales are growing between 7 and 15% per quarter. The earnings are growing. They're going to be they were 503 last year, 554 this year, but they're scheduled to only go up 456 next year. They're going to go down, but to 456. But it's a $40 stock, so that means it's what, a 9 PE looking forward, 7 PE if you're looking at current. But it also pays a 3.6% dividend, has little debt compared to its cash flow. There's a lot of things to like about this. Return on equity, remember I told you I want the high teens? This one's 48%. 48%. I kind of like it. We're buying it where it has been down this. We went get down to about 37, 38, and we were buying it around between 37, 38 to 42 or so. And it's at 40.05. So I like it. I think you hold on to it. I think you'll be rewarded eventually. And I did like the fact that insiders were buying it closer to 45. So I just think it's a beat-up stock that looks pretty good to me. H A. It's a $2.1 billion company, so it's a small cap. It's an airline. Airlines are tough. They're very tough. And I think I mentioned why before. They're tough in the fact that there's a lot of unions. Their costs can move up simply because oil prices are higher. The product they sell is airplane seats, and once the airplane takes off the ground, there's no value. There's no inventory value of those seats. They're done. You can't put people in them when they're in the air. Then add on to the cost of the airplanes. There are huge costs for those planes themselves. These are the reasons why I'm very shy of the airline industry, even though we own a couple of them. We own a couple. Anyways, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Tomorrow we're going to have existing home sales report come out. Earlier this week we had new home starts. And if you paid attention, those starts was the third month in a row where they went down. Now, that kind of, when there's 3 months in a row, you're now talking about a trend. But there's a big but in there. You know, then the but is, you had hurricanes that were in the way, both in Florida and Texas, that made a big difference as to what was happening. So Home Builders Index also came out this week, and it rose, so the builders are pretty confident. It's already at a high number, and it rose again. So I don't know, even though the housing starts were down three times in a row, it'll be interesting to see what the existing home sales, but we're still looking at September's numbers, and the impact from the hurricanes is dissipating in September, but I don't think we're done. So it's kind of hard to gauge that housing market. It still looks pretty healthy to me because prices are still holding up. Now, it might be because they're not building enough houses and that's driving up the prices. It's very possible. So we don't have a lot of economic numbers, but that was the most interesting economic number out this week. Remember, the existing home sales comes out tomorrow, so we won't really know what that number is until tomorrow. Okay? We've used up our hour already. I hope it was worth your while. Remember, if you have a question you didn't get a chance to ask on the program, or you would like to ask it privately, just remember, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Steve, and I will get back to you, I promise. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, and I'm glad you could make it with me today. On behalf of Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being part of the program, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.